We are doing things slightly different this morning. For some of you who really like the worship, you're like, what happened? Huh? Did anyone pick up that we only sang one song? Is jy wakker? Nee. Uitgevang. And nobody's saying anything. So they're just wondering if the worship team got tired. But they're not tired. We're going to worship quite a bit more still. But this morning, if you are visiting, we have a slightly different service. It's our healing service. We do one once a quarter. We feel God has not just called Shafer Franschhoek to heal the sick, but actually, we're going to speak about that this morning. Every single believer, once you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, part of the Great Commission is go and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise up disciples, baptize them. So we're not just called to make disciples and baptize them. We're supposed to heal, set them free, raise the dead. We're going to get there. All right, so I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to start. Yes, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that we cannot heal nobody, but you can. Thank you with you that everything is possible with you. Thank you for everybody that will be healed this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for every heart that will be healed. Thank you for every mind that will be healed in Jesus' name, Lord God. I thank you, Father, in advance for what you're going to do this morning. We thank you, God, that we're not coming asking for something that's not in your word, but you promised, God, that this is why Jesus came. This is what he bought on the cross. That is why he died. One of the reasons is for full healing, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and that you are going to blow our minds this morning just with how good God is. And I thank you, Father, that no man will get any glory, but all the glory will go to you. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask, break open the scriptures as we chat around that now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so like I said, I'm Jolene for the visitors. This is my husband, Richard. We lead the church together. It was so encouraging when Johnny's offering message is my sermon. I just love it when that happens. It is amazing because we changed everything around. I was getting a little bit unsure last night. I'm like, oh Lord, how do we do this? I've just gotten used to a recipe. This is how we do healing services. And who knows, once you've gotten used to a recipe, God says, let's change it up because I am not in the recipe. I am God. So I was challenged, so I'm going to challenge us all this morning, and we're all coming out of our comfort zones, but I'm first going to share from the scripture, and we're going to turn, I don't have a slide up there either, I also felt not to do that. So if you have a Bible, now is a good time to rip it out, or have your electronic Bible, that's also good. So 2 Kings 5, I'm going to take slightly longer, because it is a one you need to find somewhere in the Bible. It's somewhere, let's see. It's at the. I had the kids at Laerskool School Stellenbosch at the Bible Fast Four class. We do that once a week with the kids. And I said, where's the Old Testament and the New Testament? We start and they're like, what is a testament? And I was like, oi, Jere help ons. All right. So 2 Kings is in the Old Testament, okay? That was the next question, is what side of the Bible is the Old Testament, at the back or the front? So Old Testament, I'm going to help you out, is in the front. Okay, so everybody got 2 Kings 5. We're going to read about a guy called Naaman. Who of you know this story? Naaman. This guy, he was, Derek's giggling. Wow. Look at that. Confirmation. They did it Wednesday night at small group, this story. Okay, so Naaman is actually from Syria. He was from Syria. He was the head of the commander of the armies of the Syrian king. He worked for the Syrian king, and he was the head of the Wehrmacht, the armies. So he was a very high-profile, well-honored, established guy in Syria. It's not like today where the army, you hear about them, but not so prevalent in our society. In their society, it was a big thing. Because they unfortunately went to war quite a lot, very often. So Naaman was almost second in command, if I can put it like that. And he worked straight under the king. And what happened was, during one of these outings, I'm just going to tell a little bit of background and then we're going to read. During one of the times they went out to war, they captured a little Israeli girl who then came into Naaman's house. And she served his wife. So she became kind of the helper to the wife. I suppose cleaning the house, making food, getting dressed, things like that. So Naaman is now the king's assistant, or second in command, basically commander of the armies. There's this girl in his house, a little teenage girl. I think back then it wasn't even teenagers like we know teenagers now. I think she's actually 12, 13 years old probably. But the problem with Naaman is he's got leprosy. Okay, leprosy is a terrible skin disease. I am surprised that he still stayed amongst the Syrians, or amongst these people. I suppose it wasn't the laws of the Israelites in Syria. But actually, in Jesus' times, the lepers, they had to stay outside of town. You cannot even come close to town if you had this sickness. It was a skin disease so bad, you got removed from society and put somewhere else to live there. And if you wanted to go to Woolworths to go buy bread, you had to shout down the street, "Unclean, unclean," and then everybody would duck and run because you're going to give me that sickness. It was a really horrible disease. But this guy, for some reason, he still stayed and did his work in Syria. But then this little girl that got captured in one of their raids, she told the wife, Naaman's wife, "Listen, but if your master, my master, if Naaman can just get to Israel, because in Israel, there's a prophet there who can heal him." Okay? No pressure on the prophet. And what happens is the wife tells the husband, says to Naaman, "You know what this girl is saying? Back in Israel where you just captured her, there is somebody that can heal this disease. This disease is incurable. It's terrible. It's like cancer, I think, in our days. And not all cancers are incurable, but some cancers are really bad. Imagine you hear, hey, there's a guy up the west coast in Saldanha that can heal fourth stage cancer. What would happen? You pick up your stuff, whether you're second in command of a country, and you're saying, I'm going there because I've got a sickness that needs healing. And I hear that those people are getting healed over there. So we pick up the story. Naaman then goes to the king of Syria, his boss, and he says, look, this is what happens. This little girl is saying it. The king really loves Naaman because he's a good worker. He favors him, and he says, you know what? Please go. Go to them. I'm actually sending a letter that you can take with you. Please go there and get yourself healed. Okay? So we pick up the story in verse 5. When the king of Syria said, go now, he's speaking to Naaman, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he's not just sending him to the prophet, he's going to the king of Israel with his letter. So Naaman departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Why? Because nothing is for free. Is that the truth? Most of the times, but in the kingdom of God, you don't pay. In their times, and sometimes with us as well, we think, I need to pay for my healing. Surely it can't just be free. I need to pay. I've got to earn it. I know I can't pay God in rand and cents, but surely I need to live a holy life before I can be healed, before I'm good enough to get what God promised. That's not the kingdom of God. We're going to see that this morning. So he departed and he took all of that with him. Verse 6, then he brought the letter of the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? I mean, can you imagine? Okay, so the king of Israel, they have a little bit deurgeloop by the Syrians. They're slightly nervous of the Syrians because they keep on making war with them. So now he gets sent a letter by the king of Syrians saying, I heard you can heal my second in command. Please heal him and send him back. And this king is traumatized. I mean, the Bible is literally, it says he ripped his clothes off, okay? And not in worship like David did. He ripped his clothes off because he realized, if I don't heal this man, they're going to attack us again, probably. So what am I to do? And it says there, therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So what is going on? Why is this king wanting to fight with me? I can't do that. Verse 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, you will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the other rivers in Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not have washed in them and be cleaned? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then if he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And then he wanted to pay him. And Elisha said, no, I do not take money, because who is it, Elisha who healed him? No, it's God who healed him. So the story of Naaman, I think, I'm hoping we didn't read too much without our standard slide at the back, but I think you guys could follow. I was so encouraged and just challenged by how Naaman's healing came through an act of faith, an act of obedience. God saying, I want you to do this or to do that, and then the healing came. In his case, it was an instruction to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Now we see Elisha was speaking on behalf of the Lord. You see, it's very easy to say, but Elisha just maybe thought it up. In those days, the prophets didn't say a word. I'm hoping today as well. But they wouldn't say anything until they were really, really sure it was God. Why? Because they could get killed. It's not like today you get crucified on social media if you say something wrong. There they literally would get stoned or killed. You read Jeremiah. I'm busy with Jeremiah. Wow, that man got thrown into dungeons whenever it was perceived that this was not a word from the Lord. So in this case, Elisha must have heard from God. He heard about the king tearing his clothes and realizing, Uachatz, we're in big trouble. Lord, I can just imagine him seeking the Lord, saying, God, how can I help? How do you want? I know you can heal. Do you want to heal him? What do we do here? And this is the message I believe he got from God. Tell Naaman to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. That was the instruction. Naaman's response, we see in verse 11, not very gracious. This man was, the Bible says, verse 11, he was furious. He was so upset. Why? Because God didn't do it the way it was supposed to happen. He had it in his mind. It says there, surely I thought he would come, I would go to him, and he would come out to me. Because I am second in command of the, you know, in Syria. Surely he would come out to me. So God just broke down all of that pride right there, saying, no, we're doing it on my terms. And yes, it might be completely different. And I'm going to give you the option to take offense, because nobody can offend you. You can just take offense. So in this case, Naaman got the option to be highly offended, which happened. This man got very offended because now this prophet, who is not the king of Israel, he's just a prophet. He doesn't even come out of his house to tell me. He sends a messenger to tell me what God is saying. And then on top of it, he's saying, I must go and wash in their filthy rivers. I could have done that at home. We've got much better water. So the instruction God gave Elisha offended this man out of his socks. It offended him on all levels. And on top of it all, I think you went with an expectation. How many of you came here with an expectation today to be healed of something? Yes? No? 1, 2, 3, 4? Thank you. We came here with an expectation to be healed. Why? Because that is what the word says. Naaman went with an expectation. But what happened? God required something else of him. And sometimes we see God saying, I'm going to do it on my terms. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to change it up. I'm not just going to get somebody, the high and mighty anointed one of God, to place his hands. That's also what Naaman said. Surely I thought he would come out and he would wave his hands over the place. And God is saying this morning, I felt him saying quite clearly, we're all going to pray for people a bit later, but I felt him saying, I'm going to heal people this morning during worship by acts of faith and obedience that they're going to do when I tell them to do it. So it's going to be different this morning. We've done quite a few healing services for those who've been with us, and we've followed a little bit of a pattern, which I think has been good. Until God says it's not time for a pattern anymore, then we're doing it differently this morning. So this morning, I really believe God is saying, I want to move and I want to heal you, but I'm going to bypass some of your minds. For us Westerners, that's slightly tricky, slightly difficult, because I want to understand, why would healing my skin disease got anything to do with dipping in the Jordan River? Is there any correlation? Does it even make sense? And why do I have to do it 7 times? Surely once is enough. Why? I don't know, but I know God is God. And if he says do that, then you do that. And we see with Jesus did the same thing in John 9. I don't know if you guys know that story of just one of the people that were blind. Look, Jesus did highly offensive things when it came to healing. I read some of the story, not parables, it was actual events. Again last night, he spat so many times on people and in the ground, and he would stick his fingers full of spit in people's ears. David, dat gaan nie werk nie. And sometimes I think he was on purpose, deliberately trying to offend these people. Why? Because he was being difficult? No. Because I think he wanted part of it. I think there are many reasons, and the theologians can help us with that. But one of the reasons is for you to realize that you cannot earn this. And that you need to put your head, us Westerners, under our arm when it comes to God. Because what he asks you to do sometimes is completely different to the outcome you're trusting him for. In this case, he spat on the ground, made mud with his spit. So that wasn't just a little bit of spit. Huh? That's a lot of spit in the Middle East. I wondered how long that took. It's like, woo, that is biaspoch. He made the mud. He put it on the guy's eyes. And then he told him, go and rinse your eyes in the pool nearby. I can't remember the name. Siloam. Okay, this man can't see. Now he has to get to the pool with spit on his eyes, mud on his eyes. So he's got to find somebody to take me to this pool with my mud on my eyes. I'm going to wash off. Why didn't he just heal him? Say, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, not in Jesus' name, just be healed. Why didn't he do that? He did it for so many other people. I don't know. I don't know. That's how he chose to heal him. Sometimes he heals through our acts of obedience. And you know what? Jesus is so good. Most of the times, he knows that it's not just the eyesight of this man that probably needed healing. He needed more healing. Maybe he was too proud to ask for help. Maybe it was a question of, I need help to get somewhere. I don't know. But God knows why he would ask you to do something specific that probably has nothing to do with your healing. But he's going to ask you that this morning. And the choice will be up to you. Will your response be like Naaman to say, no, 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 this is not right. I am not doing that. God, I am not running up and down. I'm not shouting. I am not jumping up and down. I'm not doing all of this. You've got to come to me on my terms. The choice is yours. God is saying, I'm here to heal. Will you listen what I tell you to do and do it in obedience, even if it doesn't make sense to you? That's challenging. But sometimes that's what God does. And I want to encourage us. We're going to, I want to share a quick testimony I heard last week. Who of you have heard of a guy called Randy Clark? Randy Clark, all right. God uses him quite mightily in Brazil, South America, especially around, well, he's very anointed with healing specifically, but he goes to Brazil, but I think in Brazil, there's so much revival happening. You can pretty much go anywhere, it seems like, and the Holy Spirit just comes. But he tells a story. He told a story this week that I listened to, a testimony, that he said the one service, he also goes through the same kind of pattern of, and this was, I think, 20 years ago or whatever. He saw in his mind's eye, it wasn't an open vision, he just saw in his mind's eye a whole lot of people doing this. Now those little fulkies, what do you call it, a houtkapper? Or if you've had Chinese in Sea Point, like we used to do on a Friday night, they have these cats in a Chinese restaurant that just has one arm going up and down. So not also Chinese yet. But he saw in his mind's eye this, people going like this. And he felt God saying, I want to heal intestines. I want to heal digestive systems all the way from the mouth to the bottom. But I want to do it through this act of obedience. You're not going to pray for them. They must come forward and do this. And he shares the testimony. He's like, this is not going to be dignified. How do you do this? So now he's trying to arrange it because he's saying the last thing he wants is you do this and you bump the next one on the behind. So he's standing there and he's thinking, Lord, this is not going to be good. How are we going to do it? But all right, I'm going to be obedient. And he said, okay, everybody. And he said he thought it was a big crowd, but he thought 20 people at most would come forward for this. 200 people responded to this altar call. They come forward. He says, you just stay a good few feet apart from each other, please. No bumping into the back. We're going to do this. And he said he was still young when this happened. So he thought, how long? Lord, how long? I mean, is this now kind of two or three times? Or is it like the prophet that had to hit the ground? How many times? How long? And he said in his, he's like, well, if you're going to be bold and take a risk, we're going to go all out. So not too long that you pass out, but also long enough to feel uncomfortable. That's what he told the people, right? But he didn't tell anybody that he'd been bleeding from the colon. For his dad had the similar disease. In fact, his ex-grandpa died of colon cancer. And he said softly under his breath, Lord, I'm getting in on this one. I need healing in this department. And they did that, and almost 80% of the people with digestive problems got healed. Nobody prayed for them. They did this. Does it make sense? Nothing. It doesn't make sense. Has it got anything to do with the colon issue? No, it doesn't. It's obedience to what God said. He was healed that day with all the other people. He's never bled again since. I think it was in the 1990s. He shares this testimony. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but the Holy Spirit might ask you to do something. And we still have a lot of time. So there will be time when we're going to pray for people at the end, because that's part of the Great Commission, and we are going to do it. But I felt specifically for some of us that came here, God is saying, I'm going to heal you this morning, not because anybody prays for you, but because I'm speaking to you, and I want to partner with you. I want you to take out your faith and say, God, this is crazy. Why do I need to jump up and down? Why do I need to run around the church? I don't know what God is going to tell you to do. It doesn't make sense. Washing in a river has got nothing to do with my skin disease. God says, I know. But I am God, and that is how I want to heal you this morning. So I'm gonna declare a couple of healings over us, and then we're going to worship. Because I felt a while back already, I felt God saying he's going to start healing people in worship. So we're not done worshiping. We're going to worship. And while we are worshiping, God is going to heal, not just the words of knowledge that I've got here now, but he's going to heal a whole lot of things. And it's up to us. It's up to Naaman. It was up to Naaman and the blind man to actually go and wash, to actually say, I'm getting over myself. because I'm trusting God to heal me and I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And I felt God saying that he's going to heal barrenness this morning. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to ask you to be very brave. There are a couple of words that I've got here. If that's you, why don't you just slip up your hand? You're not going to come forward. You're going to ask the Lord what he wants you to do and how to handle it this morning. But I felt him saying, for some of us who are struggling to fall pregnant, is there anybody that's struggling with barrenness? I mean, okay. Two or three hands. I felt God saying he's gonna break that this morning. Digestive issues. Anybody struggling anywhere? Digestive issues. Okay. Also quite a few hands. I mean, sleep issues. Anybody struggling with either night terrors? Oh, the eyes are going big. It's like night terrors, or your children are struggling to, not your 3 months old, they're supposed to cry at night, but anybody else that's got sleep issues, I felt God saying, even those that maybe fall asleep quickly because you're so exhausted, but then wake up two or three times a night, I feel God is going to heal you this morning. And then it's a little bit of a weird one, but head trauma. I don't know, has anybody been in an accident or bumped your head really hard? And you've got trauma, your head, you're actually struggling from severe migraines since the trauma. Is there anybody like that that's got issues with their head from accident or bump or anything like that? And is there anybody like that? I can very well have missed it as well. All right, if that is you and you are not in here but maybe in the mother's room, God wants to heal you. And what happens if I missed it now, if this is not God? What happens? Nothing. I'm still a daughter of God. We have to be comfortable with taking risk and making a mistake. So if I'm wrong, skis. I heard wrong. Okay, so I'm trying to help you to get off the stress and the concern. What if I get it wrong? It's okay. It's all okay. What if I get it wrong this morning? What if I feel God is saying, do this, run around the church, jump up and down? What if I feel God is saying that and nothing happens? I don't know, but what if something does happen? What if he does heal you? So to me, maybe there's nobody with head trauma. Okay, but what if there was somebody and God wanted to heal him and I couldn't get over myself to share the word? Sorry, that was a sidestep. Arthritis, that's the other one. Arthritis, anybody struggling with, there's quite a few hands coming up. Anybody struggling with any joint issues and pains? And then you know what? Even if I didn't read out your condition, God is saying, have you got faith to heal? The Syrophoenician woman. She came, Jesus said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. I'm sent to the Jewish people. And she's saying, Lord, Jesus, what about the crumbs? You know, I don't think Jesus was meant to heal her daughter. But her faith moved God to do something that he wasn't sent to us to do. So I don't know what you're struggling with today, but I know Jesus, and I know he died for all of it. So I want to invite you to, before we're going to close our eyes, why don't you stand with me? Maybe the worship team can come up. Sure. Sorry, now we're all in tears, and here we go. Okay. So I want you to just become aware of your body. We have done this many a times. So this is not unfamiliar to you if you're in our church. If not, if you're a visitor, you're welcome to participate. You're also not welcome to do anything. You are most welcome to just enjoy. But if you have come here and you've got some form of pain in your body, if what you are trusting God for, you can feel the pain. I want you just to become aware of your pain level. 10 being excruciating, I cannot actually move. 0 being I have no pain. All right, so just become aware of where you are at. Maybe you've come for a knee problem. Your knee is really sore. This morning, it's kind of a 3 out of 10. Why do we do this? We do this because God is going to touch you, and sometimes he's going to go from 10 to 0, and you're going to be healed completely. But sometimes it might be that he starts the healing now, and as you go home, he completes it. So it might be that your pain level goes down from a 6 to a 2. But then we're not going to celebrate because it's not a 0. Is that right? No, 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 no. We are celebrating everything God does. Why? Because it's in our thanksgiving very often that he finishes and completes the work. And going down from a 3-level pain to a 2-level pain, pain doesn't just miraculously disappear. we give God the glory and we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. But we won't know if God did anything if we don't become aware of our bodies. Does that make sense? So just take 20 seconds and just see. You don't need to tell anybody, just to yourself, what kind of pain or ungemak are you experiencing this morning? And then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to worship. And if you came here and you are completely healthy, we're still going to pray for people at the end as well. So you're not going anywhere. You are part of the ministry team. But I want you guys to lock eyes with Jesus and worship God like never before, because we are worshiping and fighting for our brothers and sisters' healing. For the rest of you, I'm going to pray for you to hear the Spirit speak to you. To hear Jesus say to you, what is it that He wants you to do today? For some of you, I felt, and there's communion here in front. There's broikies and some juice here in the front. And I felt for some of you, you actually need to come forward during worship and break that little cracker and declare Jesus' body was broken and healed so that my body can be broken, can be healed. Jesus paid for our healing. So for some of you, your act of obedience will be to come forward and take communion at your own time and thank Jesus. Has the cracker got any power? No, but it's an act of faith, an act of obedience. So I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Thank you, Father, that I can just break the lie that some of us can't hear the voice of God. I feel for some of you, your heart is actually beating really fast. And you're like, I don't know how to hear from God. How? I'm going to miss my healing. I'm going to miss my moment. And I just speak peace over your heart. In Jesus' name, I say you do hear from God. You will hear Him this morning. You're not going to miss it. And He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. Because that's what Jesus paid for. So thank you, Jesus, that you are in the room. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to heal people this morning. I thank you that you are speaking to people right now as to what you want them to do. I feel for some of you, you might just need to kneel where you are. God is saying, just come and kneel. For some of you, there are flags here in front. I feel God is saying, I'm inviting you to dance your way into healing. And that's actually for some men, maybe. Like, I don't dance. I know. But this is not really about dancing, is it? It's about active obedience. There are flags here. For some of you, I feel God is saying, you just need to come and lie face down in front here. There's no shame. Nobody's looking at nobody. If you are fully healed, you are praising God and worshiping with the worship team. For the rest of you, I want to encourage you to be bold. I want to encourage you to get to your Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. And I also want to encourage you, don't give up after 2 times. If God said 7, do it 7 times.